This is episode 54 of the Evolve Marriage Podcast. Today, we're talking to Keith and Sheila Gregoire. Keith is a busy pediatrician and Sheila is an award-winning author and popular blogger. Together, they have been married 30 years and they have a passion for marriage. They speak at marriage retreats and at Family Life Canada weekend conferences. They also just released two books side by side, The Good Guy's Guide to Great Sex, and a re-release of Sheila's previous book, The Good Girl's Guide to Great Sex. So really, really encourage you guys to grab them side by side. They are amazing reads. Today, we chat specifically about what gets in the way of couples having a great sex life. We dive into the orgasm gap and exactly what men can do to help their wives open up and really enjoy sex so they can both feel more pleasure and connection in the bedroom. I hope you like it.
Hi, I'm Kate McDougall.
And I'm Eric McDougall, certified master coach.
And this is the Evolved Marriage Podcast,
where every week you learn valuable skills to help you evolve your marriage so your best years together are ahead of you. Here we go. All right, everyone. Welcome. Today on the Evolved Marriage Podcast, we are super honored to have Sheila and Keith Gregoire. Thank you so much for joining us, Sheila and Keith. It's an absolute honor to have you. I'm really, really excited to talk to you.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Good to be here.
So we were talking a little bit before the call, but as we kind of get started, I guess I always ask, what is an area of growth you are both currently experiencing that's impacting your own marriage in your life right now?
Do you want to answer that? You want me to?
You go first.
I think what's happened, we became empty nesters a couple of years ago. Both our daughters are married and we have some grandkids now. And I think it's just like, we've been really involved in figuring out what the next few years are like. You know, how do you redefine your life in middle age? Because we have choices now. There's a while where you're just on the hamster wheel and you're just going because you have to, but now we have choices. So it's just learning to be more, you know, deliberate. And what do we want our lives to look like when we don't want them just to be work, but we want to make sure that we've got time together too.
Yeah, mine's similar. I mean, I guess the big thing I would say is Sheila's been talking and writing about sex for years now, and she got me into it. My day job is a pediatrician. And so one day she said, "Hey, how would you like to talk about intimate details of our lives in front of like lots of people?" So I kind of joined in. And for me right now, the issue is, since it's really taking off, is, you know, balancing two jobs and, you know, and also trying to have personal development time and that sort of thing as well too. So That's what I'm trying to work on, that kind of balance.
Yeah. I think Kate could really relate to what you're saying, Keith, in terms of, you know, we literally just had a conversation about her involvement with what we do at Evolve Marriage. And she has a side business, plus she's a teacher. And what we found is that, you know, around all this idea of achieving and being human doings, we were kind of losing sight of what was most important to us, which was our connection and our intimacy. Because it is a challenge to try to do it all, the pull to say yes to all these things, which sound exciting. But in order to really live a fulfilling life, sometimes we got to say no to stuff.
We've been saying no to a lot lately. So.
But it feels good sometimes too. Yeah. So I really want us to dive into your books that are being released side by side. They were, you know, as the recording of this podcast, they were released 2 days ago on March 15th. Mm-hmm. I wanted to know both Good Guy's Guide to Great Sex and the updated version of Good Girl's Guide to Great Sex, which you had released a while back, Sheila. So what was the intention behind writing these books together? I'd love to hear more about the process, but really, what was your idea when you started to sit down and say, hey, we need to make one of these for men and also update this one for women?
Well, I wrote the original in 2012. And, you know, I was writing for a conservative audience, often growing out of the church, feeling a lot of shame about sex, not really understanding what it was meant for. And while I liked the book at the time, I have since done so much research. We've surveyed over 32,000 people now, really in-depth surveys about marital satisfaction, sexual satisfaction, what leads to growth and health. And I've just realized I don't agree with everything I said. But the book was selling really well. And so our publisher wanted the guy's version. And I'm like, okay, but you need to let me rewrite the girl's version too. So we rewrote the women's one. And we really felt like there needed to be two because, and we'll probably get to this more in the podcast later, but the issues are different. I think men need to be told, because sex is fairly easy for men if you think of it just as intercourse, okay? It happens. It's not that difficult to think. For women, it's a different story. And so men need to be told, hey guys, pay attention to your wife and you can be her hero in the bedroom. And women need to be told, hey, you matter too. So it's just, it's a different emphasis.
It sounds like, based on what I was reading about the books you wrote, it really is about, I don't want to say drive, but kind of this movement towards really understanding, how do we put, you know, both our pleasures up front and center, and how do we make sure that we have this fulfilling sexual experience together? Mm-hmm. Which I think there must be a sense of freedom in that, right? And writing about that and being open about that, because I think it's something that not a lot of people tend to talk about when it comes to sexuality.
I agree. I think the other thing too is that we tend to have a very limited view of what sexuality is. We tend to have a very narrow definition of sex. You know, for instance, if I were to ask you, which I won't because it's creepy, but if I were to ask you, did you have sex last night? You know, you'd likely have a specific thought in your mind, and it's, you know, basically tab A and slot B sort of thing. Yeah. You know, we think when we say sex, we mean sexual intercourse. And what we're trying to do in these books is broaden that definition. And we're trying to say that, you know, your sex life together as a couple is everything you do sexually with the aim of mutual satisfaction, pleasure, and bonding. And I think a lot of men need to hear that because, as Sheila said, sexual intercourse can be very automatic for men. And so when it works great for them and their wives take all this extra time, they feel like something's wrong with them. And why aren't they just like a man and, you know, zip and everything's perfect and fine and easy. And that's just not the way that it works. And guys need to learn to slow down and actually pay attention to make it great for both of you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'd love to talk about this kind of the way you are redefining this word sex. Kate and I, we really had to find the balance for us between, you know, how do I make sure that I take care of my own needs sexually, right? And I'm responsible for the boundaries that I set up and to be open about mm-hmm. the conversation of what feels good to me, but also not do it in a way that's totally autonomous. And I'm only focused mm-hmm. on me and I'm only doing things for me. And to be honest, that had to do with, at least in our relationship, we had to discover a lot of different things. There was a lot mm-hmm. of, you know, I hate to say awkwardness, but growing pains of like, hey, you know, I was like, I had a great time last night. What about you? And it's like, no, I didn't. That wasn't fun. And then like, yeah. Oh, well, why didn't you tell me? And it's like, well, I didn't want to stop it because it was, you know, and it's yeah. like, well, where's this balance? And I think mm-hmm. when you talk about redefining the word sex, I mean, what is it you're trying to move towards? You know, you talked a little bit about mutual pleasure, but when it comes mm-hmm. to the books, what is the message you're really trying to get across in terms of this definition of sex?
Yeah, we want a threefold definition. So we think sex should be something which is intimate. So it's not just physical. It's like, this is us joining everything we are. And by the way, that's why makeup sex is a thing. Like, you know, after you fight and suddenly you want each other, it's because when we're really vulnerable with each other, when we're really open with each other, because in a fight, you know, you've often, or conflict, you've often shared, this is what I'm feeling. You've shared some of your fears that maybe you haven't shared before. And so you've really touched on an emotional level. And then that's when you want, then that's when your bodies go, hey, let's take it another step further. And so emotional vulnerability, emotional connection is actually the key to desire, but we often forget that. And we substitute the physical for the emotional, and really they all go together. And so sex should be something which is intimate, that emotional vulnerability. It should be something which is mutual. So you both want it. You both are trying to please each other. It's about both of you. And it should be something which is pleasurable for both. And the problem with our definition of intercourse as sex is that she could be lying there making a grocery list in her head. You know, she could be lying there in emotional turmoil. She could even be in physical pain and it would still count as having sex. Because in our traditional definition, her experience is separate. It's a bonus, but it's not necessary to the main event. And we need to redefine it and see it as something where this is both of us together.
Yeah, I love that, Sheila. And I guess my question for both of you, because I'd love to hear both your perspectives from the woman and the man, but how do we overcome this idea? You know, Kate and I, we call it like duty sex, right? Where it's like, mm-hmm. oh, it's my job as a wife to please my husband. And you know, mm-hmm. What a great time for me to make the grocery list, right? As you were saying, but, you know what I mean? But the reality is, you know, Kate and I, we've been together 18 years and that was a part of our sex life, right? Where Kate was just pleasing me to keep me appeased, to keep me calm. Cause she realized mm-hmm. the trend was if she didn't have sex with me, I would just grow angry and frustrated. And it was like this great mm-hmm. way to be like, okay, here's your carrot. Like, be quiet, you know, and as much as I hate to admit that, that's the truth. And so I guess yeah. from your perspective, Sheila, you know, how do you encourage women to really open themselves up and change your thinking around this? And even for you, Keith, as the husband, like, how do you encourage your wife to do this, but not in a way that feels like pressure or pushy?
Mm-hmm. Well, you go first, because that's our whole philosophy, right?
You know, it's interesting because we measured this idea of duty sex, you know, like a wife is obligated to give her husband sex when he wants it. And that was a really toxic message. We asked 20,000 women about it. And when women believe this, they're less likely to orgasm. They're less likely to get aroused. Their marital satisfaction goes down. But most importantly, the rate of sexual pain, primary sexual pain or vaginismus, goes up. It's something that is highly implicated in sexual dysfunction for women. Because when you take away women's agency, when you say, hey, you need to do this for him, then it's no longer about her. It's not this deep knowing of someone. It becomes an owing, and that erases her as a person. And so it really does have toxic repercussions. But, you know, we like to say sex is still an important part of marriage. So how do you separate sex being this important, vital part of a healthy marriage and duty? And I think it comes from understanding that threefold nature, that it is mutual, pleasurable, and intimate, and really figuring out what it is that gets her going. You know, like an understanding that sex is for her too. And that might take a little bit to figure out, but a woman's libido is so highly tied to how she sees sex and how she sees her husband and the quality of their relationship. And when sex becomes just a duty, that's going to affect everything. Mm-hmm. So as a couple, you need to talk about what is it that she needs to get her libido going? And what is it that she needs to enjoy sex?
And I think from the guy's perspective, a lot of times we give lip service to the idea that we want it to be a mutual thing, but somewhere in the back of our minds, we think, yeah, no, sex is really something that guys want and women don't. And I think that that's proven in a couple of things we found in our studies. And one is what Sheila calls the orgasm gap. I always explain it wrong. So jump in and tell me okay. if I'm doing it wrong, but basically 95% of men report that they orgasm always or almost always during sex. Whereas the number of women that report that is only 48% in the studies we did. Now we studied conservative religious couples. So it's slightly higher outside of that group, but it's still a big gap. Yes. Yes. And in our case, it was 47 points. And the other thing we found that was very interesting is we actually asked couples where the wife orgasms regularly, do you feel you do enough foreplay? And we found that 95% of the time, both the husband and the wife said, yes, he does enough foreplay. Not surprising. But what was surprising was when we asked in couples where the wife does not frequently orgasm, 71% of men said they still did enough foreplay. So, of course, the question is, enough for what, buddy? You know? But the really interesting thing to me as a man is 59% of women also said he does enough foreplay. And I think that this, it teaches us something, is that both men and women have internalized this idea that sex is something for men and it's something that women just give to men. And we want to get past that. We want to encourage men to be great lovers, men who are generous lovers, who say, you know what, this is for both of us. It's not just something for me that you do for me. To get past the idea of I need this to I want to give this to you.
Mm-hmm. And I do want to point out too, it is a misnomer that the guy is always the one who wants sex. You know, like in 58% of marriages that we measured, he has the higher sex drive, but in 19% she does. And in 23% it's shared. So, you know, it isn't always the guy who wants it and the woman who mm-hmm. doesn't.
Yeah. And I think a huge part of that, you know, at least from my guessing, must come from this idea of what's socially acceptable and what's not. I think a lot of times it's totally socially acceptable for me to say, oh yeah, I love sex. I want sex. But I think if a woman openly says that mm-hmm. to people, it's almost yeah. like, wait, what? Like, are you like yeah. are you trying to be objectified? Like, and that's something yeah. that Kate has also been really pushing against of like, I don't think there's anything wrong with a woman loving and desiring sex. Like, it's great.
Yeah.
And I think in order to have, right, a healthy marriage, we need mm-hmm. to open that conversation and really try to, as men, understand our wives and say, hey, mm-hmm. what is your experience of sex? Because I think that's a great place to start. So I love yeah. that you guys are tapping into this because I agree. I think a lot of it is, you know, the beliefs we were raised with, there's so much that comes into this idea of how we're having sexual intimacy that we really have to deconstruct these things a bit and understand mm-hmm. what is it that we're moving towards. So I love that you guys mm-hmm. wrote the book with this theme. I do want to touch on kind of switching gears a bit, but I want to touch on this idea of frequency. I think a lot of times there's these questions around how often do you have sex? What's the number of days per week you have sex? What's a good amount to have sex? But you talk about this idea of prioritizing sex and why it's the wrong approach. So can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, because whenever you ask people, what is the main problem in your sex life? The number one thing that people say is one of us wants it more than the other. And so it's like, how do you navigate that difference in libido? That ain't the problem, people. It really isn't. So here, I'm going to list five things. I want you to all listen to me, okay? When we asked women and men about their satisfaction, et cetera, we found that when there's high marital satisfaction, when women feel emotionally close to their husbands during sex, when they frequently orgasm, when there's no porn use in the marriage, and when there's no sexual dysfunction, frequency takes care of itself. It's very rare to have a couple where those things are all present and they're not making love like, you know, what's above average. When there's a frequency problem, when someone seriously doesn't want sex, we need to stop saying, how do we get them to have sex more? And we need to start saying, what's the issue? Because sex is amazing. It's supposed to be this great thing. It's supposed to make you feel closer. It's supposed to have this big, you know, hormonal surge in your body so that you get happy. It makes you relax so you sleep better. It feels amazing. So if people honestly don't want sex, we need to start asking why, as opposed to just telling people to have more sex. Because that changes the very nature of sex. As soon as we turn it into a duty, it's no longer us knowing each other, us joining together, et cetera. It's just something I have to do for you. So it's debasing. And once you start to figure that out, like, why is there low marital satisfaction? You know, maybe she's just really tired. Maybe they've got three kids and she does almost everything and she's carrying all the mental load for the family and she just has no extra headspace. And maybe it would help if he took some of the mental load and helped her get some sleep, you know, or maybe he's been using porn for 20 years and she just feels used and objectified and he's never paid any attention to her. Like, so we need to start asking the why, as opposed to just saying, have more sex.
I think it's a big part of the first question, right? When I talk to a lot of men who come to me and they're like, oh, how do I have more sex? And it's like, wait, before you even go down that road, are you and your wife both currently enjoying your sexual experience?
Yeah.
Because there's no sense trying to ramp up someone's sexual experience if they're not enjoying it. There's going to be a lot of resistance.
Yeah.
And so I always say all the time, like, how do you get on the same level, which is we both are experiencing pleasure and connection. And then later on, we can talk about frequency. And like you said, eventually, if you just focus on that first part, then you don't have to deal with the frequency. Because it's like, why wouldn't I want to do something more? So the problem kind of solves itself. But I agree. Oftentimes, we don't actually ask our partner, what's your experience of our sexual connection? Even further than that, do we create that psychological safety, that space for our partner to be open and honest about it? Because I think for a while in our marriage, you know, Kate was like, well, I don't necessarily want to get into this conversation. She was conflict avoidant and she was very much like, it's fine inside. She was like, well, the duty sex we're having works. Just, I don't want this to be an issue.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of guys use sex as sort of like a salve for, you know, woundedness or their own insecurities or that sort of thing. And I think we as men need to be personally growing so that we see sex as a mutual, intimate, pleasurable thing rather than a way that I get a dopamine hit so that I feel better about myself, which is what I think a lot of guys, unfortunately, are stuck in. And we need to mature past that.
Yeah, I agree. And I think a lot of people don't even have that awareness. So it's great to kind of raise that question of, you know, what does sex provide for me right now? Why is sex so important to me instead of just trying to have more of it? So I definitely want to respect your time. I think a lot of couples are stuck in that mode where maybe the wife's having duty sex. Maybe it's been, you know, in their words, kind of stale. And they want to do something different. What's the first step for them to take to enter into this conversation, to start to create awareness around this more fulfilling sexual relationship?
Honestly, I think it starts outside the bedroom, because so often the reason that sex isn't working is because you don't feel connected. Nobody wants to get naked and do weird stuff with people you don't really know. Okay. Like, it feels really impersonal and like you're just being used. Here's just a little exercise that can really help couples. So at the end of the day, instead of saying, how was your day? Or what did you do today? Grab a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, whatever it is, sit down and just share with each other two moments from your day. The day where you're the most in the groove. Like, I felt the most energized. I was just, everything was flowing through me. It was a thing of beauty. And the moment where you're the most defeated and exhausted and discouraged, you know, those two emotional moments, share those with each other. If you do this regularly, you start to understand what makes your spouse tick and you know where they're at. And then when you're in the bedroom, it's not quite so awkward. So I would say that's the outside the bedroom thing. And then inside the bedroom, sometimes you just got to go back to basics. Like, stop what you're doing. Even say, you know what, for 2 weeks, we're not going to have intercourse. We're just going to do everything else, right? Like, let's just figure out what actually turns you on. You can play the optometrist game. This is a fun game. Okay. You know, when you're, you know, when you go to get glasses and they say, what's better, A or B, right? And they put like two things in front of your eyes. Like, which do you like better? If I rub here or here, if I do this or this, you know, like find stuff out about each other. But if you do it without the goal of intercourse, but just the goal of let's figure out arousal, let's figure out what turns you on. Let's just have some fun. That can help.
And what I would add to that is, I think from the men's perspective, is that we need to see sex as more than just physical. What Sheila's talking about, you know, the sharing the highs and lows of your day and that sort of stuff, that's emotional vulnerability. And that's a place that a lot of men run from. And if we want to have a great sex life with our wife, we need to be emotionally vulnerable, because it's about more than just physical connection. It's about an emotional connection as well. And we need to be comfortable going to those spaces. That's the emotional part of it. The physical thing I would say for guys is, a lot of guys just have some basic biology to learn. And I think in our book, I think we do a good job of discussing what's called the sexual response cycle, because a lot of guys don't understand why women don't respond physically the same way they do. And there's really good reasons for it. We can't go into all that right now at the end of the podcast, but we talk about the sexual response cycle and why women take longer to heat up and how you navigate that as a man. Mm-hmm. And that makes it great, because once you know that, you can just rock her world.
I agree. And I think, you know, one of the things that we did in our marriage, Kate and I, because I couldn't agree more with what you're saying, was we kind of took intercourse, you know, we call it outer course. So we took intercourse off the table, we did outer course, and started to really think about, hey, what other parts of your body create pleasure? Because so much of our sexuality was so linear. And I think that really opened the doors to us to think about pleasure in a different way, because at least for me in our marriage, like, pleasure was not top of mind. Like you were saying earlier, Keith, I was having sex for a very specific reason. I needed it to validate me as a man, as a husband. And I think when I started to really think about, oh, is this pleasurable? Can I experience what's happening in my body right now? It really opened the doors to expand my idea of sexuality. So I love that you guys touched on that. If people want to find you, I want to send them your way. I want them to get your books. Buying both of them, I think, would be super powerful. But where can people find your books? What are they called? And where can people get in contact with you and really learn more about what you're doing?
Sure. So The Good Guy's Guide to Great Sex and The Good Girl's Guide to Great Sex, those are out now. And you can find me at, the easiest place is probably my website, tolovehonorandvacuum.com. There's all my social media links. I'm very active on Instagram and Facebook, Twitter. All my social media links are there. Our books are there. Our orgasm course, our libido course, our puberty course for your kids, that's all there too. So you can grab that at tolovehonorandvacuum.com.
Amazing. Yeah. We follow you on Instagram, and I love when you kind of replace and deconstruct and write things out new. I have been having so much fun with those, Sheila, but it's like, it's an old quote. And then you just like replace it with all red writing and what it actually means now based on your growth and learning. So I've really appreciated you for that. So thanks for doing that.
Awesome. Yeah.
Thanks for inviting us. It was great.
Well, everyone, that's it for us today. I hope you really enjoyed this episode. As usual, all our social links will be down in the description of the episode, as well as we'll put Sheila's website if you want to go check out what her and Keith are doing. Also, if you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a rating and review and give us some love that way. It always helps us out and helps us spread our message. If you are a dad looking to evolve his own marriage and really lead his wife in life and in love, we have two options for you to work with me. The first one is a self-guided course, really focused around emotional, physical, and sexual intimacy. This is a really simple guide with trainings as well as challenges for you to take things to the next level in your marriage around intimacy specifically within 9 weeks. If you are looking to go much deeper, I do have a group of men that I lead. This is application only, so I'll put the application in the show notes as well. When you apply, I'll reach out to you personally so we can set up a call and really see if this is a good fit for you and where you're at in your life. Otherwise, I look forward to seeing you all next week. Cheers.